This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We are 24 hours away from our next pregame show on MSG. It's this afternoon action tomorrow with Vegas in town. We'll have a little St. Paddy's Day celebration. And, Marty, we've got news to discuss as it pertains to the roster at practice today.
Yeah, so obviously, let's start with the good news. Is Bernard Docker is on the ice for the first time with his mates. And you know, the visa issues, it's all taken care of. He's on the ice.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, because he wouldn't be able to practice.
Not true. Remember our waiver pickup from Washington who ended up with the Jets?
Oh, that was...
he practiced with us the entire week and then never played.
Yeah, it's interesting,
Axel.
Yeah, Johnson Fialbi or whatever.
Yes.
Yes, that's who it was. You're right. Blonde hair. But I was told last week, like, unless your visa is figured out, you can't even like leave and enter the country because you can't just say, I'm coming in. I'm playing for the Buffalo Sabres. Where's your visa?
Also a different scenario because Jacob Bernard Docker is coming from Canada, whereas Johnsson Fialbi had already played in the U.S., but it was the start of the season, as I recall. So it was probably a European visa transaction.
It may have been. It was a waiver pickup at the start of the season. And then
we need to do a segment, Random Names.
Axel Johnsson Fialbi.
We were not anticipating mentioning that name on this show.
No, not mentioned. But okay, so anyway, good news is first, Bernard Docker is on the ice and got to practice with his mates for the first time. Don't know if he'll play tomorrow. It's one practice, right? I mean, maybe it's, hey, let's watch one game and then we'll look at it next week. The bad news is that there was no Josh Norris at practice today, no J.J. Paterka at practice today. So it kind of... you know, puts a question mark. Like, okay, we know JJ missed the last game, and maybe there's a little something going on with Paterka, but it was lower body. But what is happening with, you know, Josh Norris? Is it, you know, illness that's going through? Is it the maintenance day? So we'll hear from Lindy Ruff after practice, and he'll be able to update us on Josh Norris.
Yeah, and that will happen within the hour, so we'll definitely keep you posted on that. Vegas is in, and Aiden Hill's got himself a big new deal. What do you think on his six-year contract?
Yeah, so I think with Aiden Hill, 6 years, over $6 million per year, do I like it for the player 100%? Look, Aiden Hill was a guy that wasn't even slotted to be a starter. And then he came in and won a cup with the Vegas Golden Knights because everybody was injured ahead of him. And he did well. And then he performed really well the next season until he got injured. And I think Adin Hill is a really, really good goaltender. Is he Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Hellebuck like? No. Is he in the top 10, top 15? No. But $6 million for starting goalie now, or just a little over $6 million over the next 6 years, is not going to be like a big investment in that. And I think that puts the Vegas in the advantageous spot. I know people are going to say, Adin Hill, $6+ million. It's a lot of money. And talk to me in a couple of years when the cap is like over $100 million, $6 million for a starting goalie is not going to look like much.
What do you like about Hill? And what do you like about, Vegas has had such an interesting carousel of goaltenders.
Yes.
In this, their eighth NHL season. Do you firmly believe that Hill will, in fact, see out this deal and be the Golden Knights number one for 6 years?
I think they will. And because what I like about Hill is that there is a certain aspect of consistency. And people are going to say, I'm like, no, it's not Stuart Skinner. Like, Stuart Skinner has zero consistency, and I think that's the thing. We've had some issues, like Binnington, for example. There's been some highs and some lows. You know, and those were the goalies that were, you know, considered for Team Canada, the Four Nations. So I did a lot of, you know, digging in. I think with Adin Hill is that you know what you're going to get. He's a big goaltender, plays the positioning very, very structurally well, but he's not going to wow you with anything. Like, Nina Solmark last night with Ottawa wowed everybody with his diving around or whatever. Adin Hill's not like that. Adin Hill is straight. In the game, he plays it one way, body positioning and the puck hits him. But Vegas, in my opinion, is the type of team that is like, well, we know what we have in that goaltending. Why? Because we're a team defense. We build in front of them. The performance is there, and we could let Hill walk and, you know, not worry about it, but they know him. They like him. They retain him. He's a hard worker, and they really feel like he's the right fit for them.
It's an amazing journey, isn't it? And I feel like we're saying that a lot about some of the number ones in the NHL right now. They're not all like these direct paths from first round pick, like a Marc-Andre Fleury, for years with Pittsburgh. And what do you attribute that to? Perhaps almost a late blooming, if you will, of so many of the top netminders now.
Connor Hellebuck played a year in Manitoba, right? They split about a half a year, Manitoba and Winnipeg his first year. Ilya Sorokin. But a lot of those goalies, too, are now signing contracts that are $8.5 million, $9.5 million. Shesterkin went way above that, and there's going to be others that are going to come. But I do feel that most goalies have to build up to that. They have to build up to their time in the NHL, and they have to be patient. And if you are a number one goaltender at 24 years old, great, great for you. But most teams are going to say, hey, we are going to build up until they're about 26, 27. And that's your target, age to be able to say you're taking that step as a number one goaltender. And most goalies will be number one for what? 6-7 years, maybe. Like, nobody's, well, there is some that are number one goalies for 8-10 years in a row. I totally get that. But the majority of them, they build up, they're a backup, they're a number one by the time they're 27, they're number one for 5-6 years until they're 33, 34. And then after that, it's like, okay, do they want to transition into being a backup goalie? Do they want to just retire and say, I've done it? Like, that's really the path for goalies.
Yeah, I mean, even just looking at the top 10 in wins, number four is Logan Thompson, much talked about by us.
Yep.
Sergei Bobrovsky started with Philadelphia forever ago. Yep. Now he's a guaranteed Hall of Famer as he entered the top 10 in wins last night in NHL history.
Remember when Bobrovsky started in the Winter Classic against us, the New York Rangers, and Ilya Bryzgalov was like talking to the media the day before, and they said, so Briz, what about tomorrow? You know, big game outdoor. He goes, well, I got good news and bad news. Good news is, you know, I'm not playing, so we have a chance to win. And the bad news is I'm not playing. But yeah, Bobrovsky was with the Flyers organization at the start. Mm-hmm. And they moved on from him, but he went through the, you know, the development of where he needed to be.
Yeah, and then you look, I mean, just keep going down the list. Obviously, Aiden Hill is in the top 10 and wins. Mackenzie Blackwood is another perfect example. No one anticipated that he would have been coveted by a team as good as the Avalanche at this stage in his career and then immediately sign an extension with them, right? I just find this fascinating. You know, goals against, like, everybody for the last number of years has thought of Jacob Markstrom. His path to becoming a number one was so, it felt so slow to me, right? And here we are. And now Spencer Knight, for all, you know, his, and he's still super young, I get it. But the fact that he might now be thought of as a turning point moment for the Chicago Blackhawks, like, I love this stuff. I just, it to
and
me,
Jacob it's, Markstrom played in Rochester, right? And people be like, what? He was in, that was the Florida Panthers farm team. Yeah. Rochester was, you know, and so he played and then played in San Antonio, like, you know, many years. Utica, he rolled around the minors for a long time. Mm-hmm. Now he's 35 years old. So there's a little bit of a difference between Jacob Markstrom and Aiden Hill, who's 28. But it's the same development path. And when I look last night in the NHL, Duffer, and I'm looking around the league and some of the games that were played, and I'm looking at some of the goalie performances, and I'm like, still to this day, like, goaltending matters so much. If you have a guy that you like and has had success and works with the team, don't look on the other side of the fence. Don't look and say, is there grass greener over there? No, you have your guy. Find a number that works and then stay there. Consistency in net is a very big mark when it comes to consistency in team success.
It's hard to find the consistency. And obviously Connor Hellebuck is the brightest example of that now. Mm-hmm. And he is hoping that he finally has the playoff success to match how highly regarded he is in the regular season. But another example of this was the, you know, one of the marquee games last night, which happened late, and it was LA Washington. So yes, it was their second meeting of the year, but an ongoing storyline between these two is the massive offseason trade of Dubois to Washington and Kemper back to LA. And it was fascinating just looking at the side-by-side graphics of how non-impactful each of them had been the previous year with their old teams and how incredibly impactful. Like, so Kemper falls into this category too. It's not that he wasn't good, but he is everything for Los Angeles right now. He has points in 12 straight home games. He's 11-0-1. He's among the league leaders. He's been, I mean, Marty, we saw him. We saw him stand out for LA in their first game in this building. And that ended up being a little foreshadowing to the season he's been able to author right now.
He bought a little bit of time for the LA Kings and Anze Kopitar in that home opener game way back in October. For them to come back. But it was 1-0 until Kopitar decided, I'm going to get a hat trick in the third period and seal the deal. But Kemper was really good. And look, 900 save percentage in the NHL right now is what you want to do. Like, years ago was, you got to be 910, 912, 915. It has changed, obviously. Mm-hmm. It has changed for a couple of reasons. One, well, we're still based on trying to score and you know, the offense and the players, the quality that there is around the NHL is one. And two, you know, they're taking shots off the board because they've got that audit on shots. So the save percentage is affected. But 917 for Darcy Kemper, that's a really good number. Now, last night, there was Linus Ullmark, who has had a couple of really good games, despite the fact that he gave up goals last night in the, in, you know, they won 6-3 in an empty net. He gives up three goals, but he makes big saves at the moment. And then his old partner, Jeremy Swayman, at the other end, just struggling to find, like, he just had a couple of good games, right? And Boston wins a couple of games without Brent Marchand, without Carlo, without all these guys getting traded. And then they get to Ottawa while Jeremy Swayman had a tough night. But it was, you know, the Allmark Swayman dynamic, you know, end to end last night that that was interesting in Ottawa.
Ottawa's won five in a row. They're 6-0-1 in the last seven. Much more comfortable in their wild card spot right now. Break down the save, perhaps, of the year by Allmark. But from your vantage point, like, what made it so impressive that he actually pulled it off?
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What made it so impressive is, number one, Linus Ullmark was so far out to the right. I have no idea why he was overplaying the shot on the right side so much. He was way out of his crease and over the side of his crease. So when that pass was going across the slot to the left side, he didn't even think, oh, I should butterfly slide across. His mind already said, I am in big trouble. I need to push and die. Like, this was like a, you know, this is going to be weird, but have you ever watched cricket, Duffer?
Yeah.
You know, like, okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's like the catcher in cricket, like the guy that stands behind the wicket. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, like, the batter will just deflect the ball to try to get it going over. And then they dive to get the ball, right? In mm-hmm. in such an elegant manner. And Linus Ullmark dove in such an elegant manner. It made me think of those, you know, I don't know what that position in cricket is called. I'll call it the catcher. When the ball gets deflected and they just dive in with their hand, they catch it. And then they have the legs follow through. Like, it was beautiful. It was spectacular. And then his smile on his face. Like, we all know Linus here in Buffalo from his time. He's a, you know, very unique individual. There's a lot of easy going to himself, but then the smile and looking at the replay, like, you could tell he was proud of himself.
The only thing missing was him tumbling down a ravine into a river. Then it would have been finished baseball.
That would have been, yeah. We got to talk to, Lukanen about that river, but I don't know if the Swedes play finished baseball, but it was similar to that. Yeah.
Look it up on YouTube. How does this all tie in, all this goaltender talk? And we did touch on it yesterday, you know, with Lukanen right now, and even to a lesser extent with Levi, who's expected to start again tonight for Rochester as they take on Providence. And you know, I don't think look, the Amerks are in their first little blip here in a long time, yep. Going 0-3-2. Charlotte, really good team that they lost to the other night. Providence, only a couple of wins behind them in the stand. These are really good matchups. And there's been more, change lately in the Amerks roster based on recalls here. And Tyson Kozak is the latest. He was called up and he's on the fourth line in practice here with Buffalo right now due to the absence of Paterka and Norris. So, but Rosanne and Dunn come back tonight, but let's stick more with goaltending. And for anybody that missed it yesterday and whether you're revisiting your thoughts on Luukkonen and the strategy moving forward. And again, with Levi, based on us just talking about the journey for so many of these guys.
Yeah, no, I really feel that my mind is set when it comes to, you know, what the Sabres have in their goaltending and what the plan should be. Look, it's not been a really good season for Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. And there was moments where you thought maybe it's going to go back up and then it kind of came back down. So it ties into a lot of what the Sabres are trying to do better. They're trying to be better on the penalty kill. Well, goaltending is a big part of your penalty kill. They're trying to be better defensively, giving up less goals. Well, goaltending is a big part of that. Is it the only part of it? No, it's not. But you do have Luukkonen. You do have Levi. You do have options out there. Obviously, reagent market and trade market is going to be something that with goaltending, it doesn't usually happen in season all that often. We've seen it. Colorado was able to revamp their goaltending in season, but that was, you know, years after the question mark was always there. So I don't change for the rest of the season the plan. Levi needs to play in Rochester. Levi needs to continue building up. Would it be fun for him if he got called up for a game or two? 100%. I was in that same boat. Like my second year in Rochester, I did look around and was like, I'm having a great year. Maybe I'm going to get a call up. And I did. I won my first NHL win. But down the stretch, my focus was Rochester. My focus was winning games, going into the playoffs, trying to win a Calder Cup. Like that's what it was. And I feel that's what it needs to be for Levi as well. But I do believe that moving into the offseason, there's a lot of doors that are open now as to what the Sabres want to do. They traded Dylan Cousins, right? They have to kind of, they signed Greenway, they signed Zucker. They have to think about what do we do with Byram and others. But goaltending should be in that same kind of, discussion. Where are we going with this? Levi is not your number one goaltender next year. But if you're not sure on Luukkonen, then you have to be able to look around the rest of the league to say, hey, how can we get strength from the crease and not, you know, the inconsistency that we've had this year?
Well, do you think they're unsure on Luukkonen, or do you think their focus would be on structure in front of them?
I think there's, well, for me, I don't know what the Sabres feel. I think the Sabres feel they gave Luukkonen the contract and they, obviously, again, like it's a $4 million contract. Look, top-end goaltenders now are making 7, 8, 9 and plus, right? So you know that you have to work with that goalie and try to get him to that spot where you feel like, okay, he is a number one goaltender. He is a top 15 in the NHL. Doesn't have to be a top 5, but, you know, you get to about the top 15, top 20. That's where you want to be. So that's what you need to get. I'm a little unsure just because I want to see progression. I want to see progression from year to year, from month to month, from first half of the season to the second half of the season. And this year, we haven't seen that progression. I'm seeing the progression with Levi, but at the AHL level. Look, the progression will come at the NHL level if it's, you know, guided the right way. But with Luukkonen, I'm still kind of putting a question mark. You know, is there options out there? The summertime, we'll have to revisit that. But right now, I still want to see a progression. If I don't see the progression, I have to kind of, you know, look at why and what we need to do.
Well, if you missed it, we got on this topic because Adin Hill got a 6-year deal earlier today with Vegas, and the Golden Knights are here tomorrow afternoon. It's a 12:30 start against the Sabres. Vegas won the first meeting on their home ice 3-1 earlier this year. James Reimer was the netminder for Buffalo in that one. So
look at Adin Hill. Like you talk about Adin Hill, is there a progression? Yeah. From playing 25 games with Vegas in his first year. Well, yeah, he won a cup to 35 games. So now it's 40th. You know, if he plays tomorrow, that would be his 40th start of the season, that's a progression. That's why you can say, okay, he's going the right direction and we can see him as a number one goaltender for 55, 60 games if we need him to.
It's very hard to make that, I think, assessment. I mean, another guy that falls into this category now, although not a number one, is Vitek Vanacek, who we just saw.
Yeah.
Right? Like, obviously, the Sharks are last. So the numbers were not good for Vanacek. But then he comes in Florida right away and, you know, blanked the Sabres and, like, and he was so hot at the start of his career with Washington. And then it cooled, and he went to New Jersey, and it was kind of uneven. So, like, when you look at, you know, even just the UFAs this summer, I mean, Freddie Anderson has to be at the top of the list, but Freddie comes with concerns too, right?
But if Freddie Anderson, for me, and why first of all, I think Freddie Anderson is a really good goaltender. There's injury issues there. But you also don't have to marry yourself to Freddie Anderson for 6 years. You can look at a short-term situation. And if you do feel like, let's just put Levi in that boat for a little bit, that Levin Levi could be your NHL backup. And at times in the year, you may rely on him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. My first NHL season, I came in and was kind of like Dominik Hasek's backup, but Dom got hurt and I got to play a lot more. But when Dom came back, I was strictly his backup. And then the next year, I was strictly his backup. I think that you could have that situation with a Freddie Anderson. Saying, you're our guy. But we know that at some time during the year, we may have to manage your health. Well, that would be a really kind of incentive to say, hey, we have Devin Levi. He's going to need some NHL experience. We can use him in that situation. And I'm not putting a cross on Ukko Pekka Luukkonen. But I'm just saying that those are the type of goaltenders that I think would have an impact with maturity, with performances. Yes, there's some downside. If a goalie is out there in the market and has zero downside, well, that goalie is being signed. That goalie is staying with its team. It's not on the market. It's not available. So everybody on the market would have its downside. That's why you have to develop your goaltenders and bring them in like from the ground up, from draft development, and hopefully they turned out to be what you want.
We could have extended the list earlier as far as goaltenders who've had a long path to respectability, consistency, all the rest. One that I glaringly omitted is just up the road in Toronto in Anthony Stolarz.
Oh.
Right? Like, think about his path. And think about how many people are lobbying, like, I really hope Stolarz is the guy when the playoffs start. You know, that's a real thing.
Yeah, there's two teams right now that are doing a goalie rotation that I'm like, you got to stop now. We are March the 14th today. Like, you need to stop the goalie rotation. Winnipeg, Washington is one, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are the other. At some point, you're going to have to pick a goalie and move forward. But Anthony Stolarz is a little bit, for me, like a Freddie Anderson. But Freddie Anderson has more of a track record than Anthony Stolarz did have. But Stolarz was injured this year a couple of times. He missed some games. What did that do? That allowed the Toronto Maple Leafs to play Joseph Woll a little bit more. Joseph Woll was also injured earlier in the year. But it allowed Anthony Stolarz to play a little bit more. But you're right. Stolarz was the best goaltender in the NHL last year when you look at numbers. Obviously, he was a backup in Florida. He wasn't the best goalie in the world because he wasn't a number one, but the quality was there. Florida, would have liked to kept him, but they had Spencer Knight and they were able to move on. Toronto saw an opportunity, but I think those opportunities are there. There's certain goaltenders that you can find that have the same type of upside as Stolarz has brought to Toronto.
We'll get to some updates from Lindy Ruff as the show moves forward. Of course, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic, based on it being Friday and post-trade deadline, is going to join us. Florida, Ottawa, Philly, Vegas, Jersey, the Rangers, LA, San Jose, all victorious last night. And we've got more action coming up tonight, but our focus is on the Sabres Tomorrow, Vegas is in. We're going to do a little St. Paddy's Day celebration presented by Topps Friendly Markets. We look forward to seeing you in the building early. Our pregame show starts at noon. It's going to be special giveaways and games in the concourse to, of course, celebrate one of Buffalo's best holiday traditions. Visit Sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. We're back after this on Sabres Live.